Hola. Ay, Dios mío, it's Thursday. Time for Jackie's Vida Loca, where every week we divulge our Latino secrets, talk about our crazy Latino culture, gossip about our crazy Latino friends and relatives, and interview the craziest, the funniest Latino comedians on the Latino comedy scene. Welcome to my crazy life. Jackie's Vida Loca.
Loquitas here again. This is Jackie Dollar, and you're listening to Jackie's Vida Loca, as you just heard, here on a beautiful sunny Thursday afternoon in beautiful sunny Los Angeles. What can I tell you? I'm lucky. Hey, you know what? We got a great, great show in store for you today. But before I tell you all about what the show is going to be, I need to introduce the fact that we are going to be interviewing some really cool people. Melissa Hayslip, who's the producer of a movie called You're Dead to Me, we're going to interview her as well as the lead actress, Laura Patalano. They've created this film, which they indicate is a labor of love. You're Dead to Me is about very provocative subject matter, and that's what I like to talk about on my show. But it's about a teen transgender that has to deal with the issues of culture and family and being a youth that's trying to define themselves. And I love it because it is about the Hispanic culture and the Hispanic community. And you know, we're a show that's Latino-inspired, comedy for everybody. But here's the thing. In the Hispanic community, these kinds of subjects are very taboo and have been. But I'm really excited that people are telling these stories in a very provocative way. And I think this film is going to really hit the big time. I'm sure it's going to win awards at the festivals. And Melissa and Laura are going to tell us all about the making of You're Dead to Me and some of the things that really provoked them to make this film and why this film is important. But before we do that, right now, we're going to talk about novelas. Because, you know, I'm writing a sitcom, as you all very well know. And it's a sitcom about a teenage Latina, stunning, beautiful Latina named Alyssa. And I'm thinking, okay, just like my show, my Jackie's Vida Loca show, my sitcom is Latino-inspired. It's about a Hispanic family, but very modern, very successful Hispanic family, but just dealing with one itsy-bitsy little issue. And we'll get into that at some point, but the issue has to do with Alyssa. And as I'm writing, and I'm writing like crazy this week, I've been writing like crazy because we're trying to get our first script for the pilot completed so we can register it with the Writers Guild of America and do all that stuff and then get a sizzle reel done. We're doing a lot of stuff for it, and I'm really excited about it. And what I like about it is that we're moving fast now. Now we're really picking up a lot of momentum. But as I'm writing and writing and writing, and you know, you need to find the funny when you write, and you need to define these characters, and you need to sort of give them a real voice. So that's what the writing part does, because you can come up with an idea and a concept, but when it comes to writing a script, all of a sudden you're giving true birth to these characters. And, you know, I think about what is Latino-inspired, you know, and it gave me an idea for this show to talk about novelas, because let me tell you something, we Latinos, I not so much anymore. I got to admit, I got off the Hispanic crack. Because to me, a novela is like Hispanic crack. But we Latinos, we watch novelas like it's an addiction. You know, I think we watch novelas because we live the lives that we wish we had, maybe. You know, it's a source of all kinds of gossip. And Latinos talk about novelas. You hear them over talking, you overhear them talking about novelas. And you actually think they're talking about real people. I mean, we get so close to these characters. Novelas air every single night of the week, all day long. You got novelas on TV because it's different from soap operas. You know, the Latino telenovela airs during prime time. So this is the main viewing on Hispanic TV in the evenings. So they talk about these characters and these people like it's really a family member or something, like they're gossiping about somebody. But, you know, it's really an amazing thing, these novelas. You know, I think that we just fall in love with these stories, and they're always the same stories. Okay, so it can either be like a working class melodrama about, let's say, a poor woman who falls in love with a rich man. His family hates her. It could be a historical romance. There's a lot of those. I mean, a lot of these novellas take place in like the 20s, the 30s, the 50s. A lot of historical romantic dramas, and even teen dramas like high school teens and coming of age topics. There's mystery and thrillers like mysterious deaths and disappearances and kidnappings. There's romantic comedies as well. And then there's the pop band story. There's a band called RBD. I don't know if you've heard of it. And if you're Latino, you probably have. But they've become massive, massively famous. And they came out of a novela. So, you know, it's so different from the gringo soap opera, where, you know, those stories are pretty much, you know, the same thing year after year after year. I mean, they run for decades, those things. Okay, so I'm going to actually let's start with that. The difference between novelas and soaps, because novelas usually last about 6 months to a year. Okay, and some of these novelas, they'll play 1 year, and then they'll bring them back 5 or 6 years later, and people watch them like they've never seen them before. Kind of like watching a movie that you really loved, and you watch it again, and even though you know the punchline, you know when somebody gets killed, you know when somebody gets married, there's still going to be tears, you know, even if you've seen the novella and you know exactly how it ends. But novellas run a lot less time, but there's a lot more of them. And soap operas, they can run for decades. I mean, take The Guiding Light. That is the prime example. The Guiding Light started on the radio because when soap opera started, they basically started as radio shows. And the reason they called soap operas is because soap manufacturers like Ivory and those kind of Ivory Soap used to sponsor them. So they used to call them soap operas because the commercials that ran during the show were always about soap. That's how they got their name. Anyway, so The Guiding Light started on the radio in 1937, and it only used to play in 15-minute segments. I guess that was enough time for people, right? The first time it went on television was 1952. It's the longest-running soap opera, and it got killed in September 18th, literally September 18th of 2009, but it holds the Guinness Book World Record for the longest-running drama lasting 72 years before its demise. But, you know, the Latino soap opera, the novela, should I say, there's only 6 months to it to a year, and that's about all we can take because, you know, everybody, by the end of the soap opera, everybody gets killed off or gets married, okay? Novela actors, they are stars, huge, huge, huge stars in Latin America. And here, soap opera stars, like, you know, you name the list of the top soap opera stars ever in the world, and you could probably never recognize who the hell they are. Susan Lucci, that's the only one I recognize, and it's because she's done other things. But, you know, it's like only for those huge, huge aficionados of soap operas do they know who the hell these people are because no one else does. They're really, I guess, B-listers. But in the Latino world, novela stars are A-listers all the way. And like I said before, novelas air at different times, all during the day, especially in prime time, main TV viewing. Soap operas run mainly in the afternoon. And novelas average, get this, novellas average 5.7 million viewers a week. Soap operas only average 2.9 million viewers a week. And that tells you something because, you know, the people who are watching the soap operas are predominantly gringos, and there's a hell of a lot more gringos than there are Latinos, although we are taking over. But when you think about it in terms of a percentage of the total population, there's a much bigger percentage of the people watching novellas of the total Hispanic population than of the total gringo population watching English language soap operas. But here's the thing. Novelas are really more for, you know, the Spanish dominant television viewer because the bicultural, bilingual Latinos are really not watching so many soap operas. They're watching Ellen, you know, during the day. They're not watching soap operas anymore, and they're definitely not watching novelas. But anyway, so, you know, those are the main differences, and we clearly have a cure for your addiction. Keep watching or quit. I quit because, you know what, it is truly like crack. Once you watch the first episode, like if you do crack one time, you're totally addicted, and you have to go into therapy. Same thing with novellas. If you watch one damn episode, you need they do such an amazing job. I think they literally stream crack through the TV waves because they do such a great job of, you know, with the cliffhangers and, you know, they don't tell you whether somebody actually died until the beginning of the next novella. And it's really, really, they really manipulate you. These novellas pretty much air on two networks, Univision and Telemundo, which air everything in Spanish. I mean, they're really the best ones for novellas. There's a few other ones, TV Azteca, Televisa, Caracol, El Trece, you know, all much smaller networks. But Univision and Telemundo pretty much air all of the soap operas for the Latinos, our novelas. And there's some really, oh, my God, there are some really funny novella names, like La Usurpadora, The Usurper, Alma Pirata, Soul of a Pirate, Caibecita, which is like little head. That's weird. Con alma de tango, like with the soul of a tango. El sodero de mi vida. María de Nadia, María of nobody. La extraña dama, the strange dame. Gasoleros. Gasoleros, that's like gas attendants. Naranja y media, orange and a half. Hotelucho, have you ever heard of Hotelucho? Hotelucho, I don't know what the hell that means. That's just like a huge hotel, I guess. Al diablo con los guapos, to hell with the good looking guys. Amor sin maquillaje, love without makeup. De pocas pulgas, few fleas. I mean, that to me is like, should be on Animal Planet. Las tontas no van al cielo. Dummies don't go to heaven. Piel de otoño, fall skin. Now listen, I put cream on every night so I don't get fall skin. Yo compro esa mujer. I buy that woman. Now, you know what? We live in a very modern society, and I take issue with the name of that novella. Yo compro esa. That's like hookers. I don't know. Maybe that's in Vegas. I don't think so. But other countries... It's not just the U.S. Other countries are also addicts for novellas. And some of the countries, like Russia, remakes all the Latin American novellas. Can you imagine those Latin American divas with fake boobs and fake eyelashes crying on Russian TV with them dubbing their voiceover in Russian? Can you imagine the drama in that? Holy mackerel. Anyway, the Philippines also does novellas. They focus on the miserable life of protagonists, focus on love life. They search for broken families. And there's always... The villain always gets killed or kidnapped for money. So the bad guy always dies. He gets either shot or there's a bomb. The protagonist gets injured and survives, and he lives happily ever after. And that's the same story for every single novella. It's exactly the same. In South Korea, here's another one. South Korea, there's always a never-ending plot, so they go on forever. And there's really, really frank sexual content in South Korean novellas. Like, that would surprise me, because the Asians typically are reserved, but I guess the Koreans are like the Italians of the Asian community, so maybe they're a little bit more passion-driven. But very frank sexual content and love triangles, and the heroine always chooses the bad boy that treats her like crap. So if you ever go to... Actually, you know what? In L.A., I think there are a couple Asian networks that air these South Korean novellas. I just have never watched them because they're all in Korean. I can't understand a damn thing, but they do have fake lashes and they do cry. So I guess it's very similar to our novellas, you know, because in our novellas, oh my God, like, I don't get it. You know what? Young people, like people in their 20s, do not watch novellas. Why? Because there's so much fake crap on there, you can't deny it. It's like, okay, so here's some fake crap on novellas. Okay, fake you cannot deny, right? When somebody's dying, they're literally peeking out the side of their eye at the camera. Okay? How do you believe that? And people do and cry at the same time when they're dying, when they know they're looking into camera while they're dying. Every female character, like I said before, wears fake lashes, does fake crying, has fake boobs. And I don't even care if it's the maid. All of them. And here's the other thing. Another fake thing. While they're being kidnapped, why are they having a picnic on the ranch? That doesn't make sense, people. And every episode, at least 5 people cry. And there's never any waterproof mascara, right? They want those brown, black lines going down your face for effect. There's no such thing as waterproof. And who wears a ball gown in the afternoon? That is just not done. But in novellas, oh, yes. And what about this? There's always poison available. There's always a little jar of poison somewhere where they can poison someone. They have, like, death mechanisms rigged throughout the house. And in novellas, there's never a middle class. No way. They're either filthy rich or dirt poor. There is no in-between. No in-between whatsoever. Well, they're so fake. That's why people don't watch them. I mean, only certain people watch them, but young people don't watch them, I don't think. And if they do, it's only because they're pleasing their grandmother, you know. But I think it's funny. I think it's really, really funny. I mean, you think about it. Like, there's different – we talked about certain storylines, right? Like, there's different storylines in novellas, and they're so predictable, so predictable. Okay, first you start with a powerful, evil man wanting a young wife. Friends, family friends have a beautiful daughter. The rich man wants the daughter. The daughter in love with the evil man's nephew. Evil man tries to kill the nephew. He kidnaps the daughter. The nephew saves her. The nephew tries to save the uncle from a huge random explosion. The uncle dies. And the whole thing ends with a wedding. Typical storyline. Okay, here's another one. Young poor girl goes to the convent. She ends up cleaning the house of an evil rich woman. She falls in love with the rich evil woman's son. She ends up marrying him to the evil mother-in-law's surprise. The evil mother-in-law gets killed by poison, and they think it's the young poor girl who went to the convent. They think it's her plot. Everybody cries every episode, rinse, repeat. Same thing over and over again. All right, here's another one. Two brothers fall in love with the same girl. And for some reason, this girl's always riding a horse with the wind in her hair. Everyone wants her with the successful brother. But instead, she falls in love with the stable boy brother. The rich brother hires a hitman to kill his stable boy brother. Yeah, to kill his stable boy brother. Try saying that 10 times. But the stable boy brother barely survives. The rich brother loses his mind. The girl and the stable boy brother get married and have kids, live happily ever after. Live happily ever after. You know what? I find that with novellas that in the end, like, there's always a happily, like, even if everybody dies off, even if everybody gets poisoned, even if everybody cries every single episode, there's always a happy ending. And I think that's, like, we Latinos are very positive people, so maybe that's what it is. And you know what? You think it's just like old lady abuelas sitting there watching novellas, but it's not. Big, tough Latino men are just as obsessed with watching novellas as grandma, okay? Everybody, you know what? In the Hispanic community, everybody rushes home to catch a novella. And by the way, do not talk, because abuela will shush you while watching. People have conversations about this, like I said, and you think they're talking about real life. You think they're talking about real life. And maybe they are. Maybe people watch novellas because that's the life they want to live. Listen, I won't name any names, but I have an aunt, and every time she opens her mouth to talk, you think she's, like, acting in a novella. It's hysterical. She is so melodramatic. It's so funny. And so I tell my mom, you know, whenever anything happens, I'm like, oh, that sounds like the novella of X. And I'm not going to name the sinner. I will just name the sin. But it's hysterical how we Latinos sort of take that persona, the novella persona on, you know? I mean, it's really, really funny. But here are some other rules, okay? So we already talked about no talking. You do not interrupt while viewing. You don't talk, you don't ask questions, or somebody will be killed. Real life, okay? And you can't spoil the ending. Even if you've watched it before, you're not allowed to talk about the ending while you're watching the novella. You're supposed to keep your thoughts to yourself about the ending, or watch out for the chancleta. And don't eat loud food, okay? Tortilla chips and potato chips and all kinds of chips, anything crunchy, is out of the question. Now, discussion is allowed, but only during the commercial breaks, but you're not allowed to change the channel during the commercial breaks, okay? You got to talk about it quickly and then get ready because it's going to come back on, and the minute it comes back on, you've got to shut the hell up. And by the way, you should always have tissues because even if you know they're fake crying and fake dying and fake poisoning, you're still going to cry. Trust me, whenever there's a baby born on a novella, whenever there's a wedding, my mother cries her eyes out. And you just don't understand. You think something's wrong when you call her. I'm like, Mommy, what's the matter? Marqueta had a baby. Oh, my God. It's a novella. It's fake. All right? And speaking of crying, here's the last rule. Do not point out that dad is crying unless you enjoy a beating. Because, you know, he'll cry during the novella, but you're not allowed to call him out on it. All right? Not allowed to call him out. There's some, you know, there's some really, really big novella stars. Like some of them you might have, you know, if you're not a Hispanic, you might have actually even heard of these. Lupita Ferrer, beautiful Mexican star. I heard some dish about that girl, though. When she was younger, oh, she was something else. She was Lupita. Lucero is another one. Now, Lucero is the name of a Mexican soap opera star, but it's also the name of a light bulb, and people adore this girl. Veronica Castro is another one. Jose Luis Rodriguez, El Puma. Talia, which of course you know, is married to Tommy Mottola, and, you know, she's kind of gone, disappeared a little bit. Kate del Castillo, and of course, our Eminem chocolate lover, William Levy. You know what? I think William Levy is really, really handsome. But get this, people. I think he's going to need to get a muñequita. And when I say muñequita, I mean he's going to need a transplant. He is going bald, and it's sad, and I don't think he's going to be one of those guys that looks good bald. Like, some guys can shave every last little bit of hair on their head, and they look good. You know, it's better than that ring that goes around the side of their head, or the comb-over, God forbid. Thank God that the comb-over and the ring, the Lord of the Rings ring that goes around the head when they start going bald, all the way bald on the top, but they have this one strip of hair that goes all the way around, that's the worst. That is the worst. Listen, guys, if you're going bald, shave it off. Now, if you're William Levy and you got all this money, run. Don't walk. But run and go get a muñequita. Now, if you know what a muñequita, do you know what a muñequita is? A muñequita is a little doll. And have you ever seen the head of a doll? Like, you see those sprouts of hair coming out? That's what a muñequita is, and that's what we Latinos call fake hair. Now, I think William Levy needs to go get some fake hair because he's too cute to not have fake hair. And he would look very, very good with a little muñequita done well. I think he could do it. I think he could do it. You know, I love him. I think he's great. And I am so glad he crossed over. But he started out with novelas. That's the thing. Novela stars are huge, huge, huge stars. I think Sofia Vergara was also on a novela. Yeah, that's how she got her start. She started out in novelas. She's Colombian, of course, from a Hispanic background. We all know that. But she's beautiful. She's beautiful. You know, she also dated Tom Cruise, which that I don't really get. But she's not with him anymore, so she was smart enough to get the hell out. Because you know what? She'd be running to the scientist center or whatever, you know, praying to the gods of the scientist revolution, who knows what. But no, she is a huge star. And she started out in novelas. But, you know, some of these are just really, really, like, off the wall. Like, there's so many different figures, you know. We talked about the evil stepmother, the stable boy. You know, there's always a crazy, evil, mean, crazy mother-in-law. There's always some random little kids, too, religious little kids that try to save everybody. They're such good kids. There's never a bad kid on a novella. I don't understand that. Why isn't there brats on a novella? Because we got plenty of brats in real life, you know, but they always depict kids as being sweet and religious and nice and they want to save everybody. And then there's always the 1,000-year-old old lady that tries to reveal some big secret right before she dies. And, of course, she fake dies, you know. She's looking at the camera. She can barely open her eyes, but she's looking at the camera going, oh, I'm dying. Yeah, there's always one of those. Oh, and there's always, I don't know why, because not everybody has gardeners, but in novelas, everybody has a gardener, and he doesn't have any teeth. And he's always very, 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 very nice. They don't look like the gardeners in L.A., I'll tell you that right now. The gardeners in L.A. are like cholo boys, you know. They're like, and they're shushing all those leaves off the sidewalk, and, you know, they're like, sporting the gardener look. They don't look like the gardeners in novellas. Not at all. And by the way, I don't think stable boys look like the stable boys in novellas because the novella stable boys are incredibly gorgeous and sexy and always sweaty and always have their shirt off. And then there's always some slutty, jealous, evil girlfriend with huge fake boobs who's like with this sweet, handsome boyfriend. There's always this slutty, evil one. I love her. And then, of course, there's the nerdy, ugly one. You know, can you say poor, you know, Betty La Fea, the nerdy, ugly girl that gets made over to look sexy, because everybody gets made over in novellas. I don't care who you are, even if you're the priest. There's always a worrisome priest, like, you know, who's very concerned. That I just wish there would one time be a priest that, you know, was hot and sexy and then would just, like, end up with somebody. I don't know if that's ever been done, but that would be a really good novella storyline, right? And then there's always a head maid with a beautiful daughter that works with her. Always. I love the maid stories. To me, they're the most fascinating, you know, because the maid stories, it's always like a rags to riches because there's no maid in a novella that doesn't somehow get made over and ends up with somebody, right? The maids are never left. They just never leave well enough alone with those maids. The maids are always made over and they're always attractive and they start off being maids and the next thing you know, they're married to the, you know, the rich guy, right? I mean, it's so funny. It's so funny. I love, you know, I love talking about novellas. I can't say that I could bring myself to, you know, stick with it because I just am kind of a commitment phobe when it comes to that. But I tell you what I really, really like is Downton Abbey. Oh, my God. We're going to have to do a separate episode just on Downton Abbey when it comes back on. And I really resisted to watching it. And then I had to catch up because I got hooked. And Bletchley Circle is another one, but not as good as Downton Abbey. And the other one I really like on Masterpiece is Mr. Selfridge. See, those are the kind of novellas I could watch because it just doesn't seem as fake. Like, those English accents kind of make it seem more real. And they're just great stories, really great stories, but we'll talk about that a different episode. But, you know, there's a psychology why people get hooked. I mean, like, even when they're remade, people still watch them, and you know how they're going to end, you know. And it's, I guess it's different from a movie, because even if you know when a movie's going to end or how it's going to end, it's like a couple hours, and that's it. So you don't have to sit there for 6 weeks, 6 months, a year, knowing how it's going to end. You know what? That's crazy, right? I mean, I can totally see why the gringo novellas go on for 72 years, because they kind of like cycle through everybody, but they don't repeat. But to the Latinos, they don't give a crap whether it repeats. They'll watch it again and again. But a movie, I think, like when you watch a movie over and over again, it's different. Because it doesn't, you know, it's like not that big of a commitment. And that's my problem. I can't really commit to these novellas. And I can't deal with all, like, the fake stuff. But there definitely is an obsession. I think the reason why we become obsessed with things like telenovelas is because there's some modicum of boredom in our own lives. And all that drama, we just love it too much, you know? And the gringos, you know, have the soap operas. The Latinos have the novelas. I bet they would watch the damn soap operas if they could understand English, but they don't speak English, so they have to watch novellas. It's forced on them. And that is what's aired on primetime, so, you know, that's what they watch. And it's really, truly an escape from reality, you know, for that day. But, you know, if you miss a novella on one day, they air it 5 times a week. So it's not like, you know, you're going to really miss so much in a story. Maybe you'll miss 10 murders and 5 fake cries, but you can still catch up pretty quickly. It's like, you know, I guess, you know, if you miss your novella, there's other ways you could watch it, like online. I think the networks offer online novellas if you missed it. You can watch it on your phone, like in the grocery store, wherever you can fit it in so you can catch up. Some people actually watch it. For those people who are truly addicted, I've heard they watch it on the toilet. If they have to go to the bathroom, they, like, take their thing with them and watch it on the toilet. But the best place to watch a novella is home, because it's kind of like a family gathering of sorts, and everybody gets together to watch the novella, and nobody really judges you if you cry over the same thing every episode. So, you know, it's easy to watch novellas at home, because they're always there. You can't really escape them. I remember when I was a kid, like, my abuela, oh my God, my abuela was so obsessed with novellas. She loved the novella. And if I walked into the room, I'd kind of be forced to watching them. And that's how you get hooked. That's how it gets passed down from generation to generation, because it all starts with your abuela. And she's hooked, and so she makes you watch it, because you can't touch that damn television channel or she'll have your hand. So that's how it all happens. Anyway, we'll be right back, and we'll talk a little bit more about why we are so damn addicted to novelas.
Only on Blog Talk Radio will you hear the celebrity host of Easy Way Broadcasting. Network owner Eric Easy Zuli treats his 500,000 Twitter followers to insider tips and connections on upcoming shows with the top celebrities and business leaders. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy and tune in 7 days a week to talk with the Easy Way Broadcasting show host at 914-338-1303. Visit www.easywaybroadcasting.com to advertise on the Easy Way Broadcasting Network.
So I told you that we would be interviewing Melissa Hayslip and Laura Patalano. They'll be on shortly, so stay tuned for that. I'm really excited about this movie they're doing, because I think it deals with some very provocative subject matter. A transgender teen in a Hispanic household deals with his mother and the family. And I think it's really important to tell modern stories, and I think that's one of the problems with novellas. I think it's really important that we Latinos move with the times, you know? And it's so weird, because a lot of the novellas that we have here in the United States are made somewhere else, right? They're made on a ranch in Mexico somewhere. And you know what? I don't think people can relate to those storylines. Like, you know, it's like, okay, maybe for a historical movie, yeah, but we just live a very, very different life here. And I really think it's up to the television networks to give us content that we can relate to. And if they really want to attract, like, the Latinos that are more acculturated to mainstream here in the United States, you can't keep putting people on a ranch in Mexico, you know, with farmhands and stuff, and expect everybody to relate to that in terms of a novella. So I really think that they need to get up with the times. And that's one of the things I really like about You're Dead to Me, this film that Melissa Hazelip and Laura Pattolano are now releasing. I saw a little clip of it, and I think it's fantastic. And if you get on my Facebook page, at Jackie Dollar on Facebook, you will find a mini clip about what they've done, and you'll see interviews with the various people involved. And I think it's a really provocative story, and it's a modern story about modern times, and that's what I love, and that's what I'm writing about. My sitcom is totally about a modern Hispanic family. They're, you know, by the way, the lead characters are not maids and gardeners, which, by the way, I have the utmost of respect for. But, you know, at the end of the day, we Latinos are thriving. We have successful Latinos that are educated and are, you know, very much contributing to the economy and the world at large. And I think it's very important to write stories about people that show the true cross-section of who we are. And so many of the stories we get are created somewhere else, Colombia, Mexico, Argentina, created somewhere else, and honestly not necessarily completely relatable for the gringo Latinos that live here, you know? I mean, and the truth is, you know, we Latinos, bottom line is, we Latinos who are second-generation, third-generation Latinos who were born in the United States, we feel a very deep sense of patriotism and feel very much American. You tell anybody, including my mother, who, by the way, my mom was born in Puerto Rico, and she's lived here in the United States. Well, Puerto Rico is a territory of the United States, but she's lived on the mainland, if you will. She's lived on the mainland for many, many years now, and she feels more patriotic than anybody I ever met in my entire life. So, you know, I really have to say that it's so important to have stories that truly reflect and represent us. And we do feel American. We don't just feel, of course, we have a very deep-rooted connection to culture, but we identify our culture in very different terms than somebody who's pretty much grown up in a different country. And it's the same with us. If we were to move to Italy tomorrow, we'd still feel like we came from the United States of America until it took years and years for us to acculturate to a completely different culture, and that's what acculturation is all about. But, you know, if you're going to create content for somebody, a TV show, a movie, novella, whatever, you got to keep in mind who your viewer is. And I think the reason why the Hispanic networks pretty much, you know, provide us with this content that is so ancient and so distant from us, from the bulk of us who live here in the United States that are Latino, is because of programming costs and development costs, you know. It's a hell of a lot cheaper to buy programming from Mexico. It's a hell of a lot cheaper to shoot in Argentina. I don't know if you knew this, but a lot of the commercials that air in the United States that are for the Hispanic market were actually shot in Argentina because it's very inexpensive and they give a lot of incentives for people to shoot there. But anyway, so I've got a caller here. Let's see who it is. Hello, you're on Jackie's Vida Loca. Who do we have?
Hi, Jackie. It's Melissa Hazlett and Laura Pattolano from You're Dead to Me.
Hola, muchachas. How are you today?
Fine. And you?
Well, I'm here on Jackie's Vida Loca, being La Loca herself, and I really just want to, first of all, congratulate you both and your entire crew, actors, crew, everybody, for creating what looks to be a very, very interesting film. And I'm excited to have you on the show today, so thank you so much for coming on board.
Thank you for having us. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Thank you so much, Jackie. We're so excited to share our film with you.
Well, you know what? When you reached out to me and sent me that little clip, and I know this just happened because I would have promoted you a little bit more on our show, but I'm so glad you did that today because I think it's so appropriate. I'm talking today, I don't know if you've been hearing the show so far, but I'm talking today about novelas and how we all get, we Latinos in particular, get hooked on these novelas. And even if we've seen the novela 1,000 times, we still watch it and cry at the fake crying and the fake boobs and the fake lashes, you know. But you know, I'm talking about provocative content because at the end of the day, you know, I think what you're doing is important. The storyline is so important for what we should be showing and what we should be saying in a modern world, modern times, you know. So tell me a little bit about your film, Melissa. Tell me a little bit about what provoked you to make this.
Well, this is a great opportunity, Jackie, because first of all, I'm a producer and I do all types of content, mostly film and documentary. But I have been, for the last 9 months, participating in a fellowship. It's the signature diversity fellowship of project called Project Involve, which is a very special program put on by Film Independent. And Film Independent is a big Los Angeles filmmaking industry, but it's also a nonprofit organization. They are responsible for the Independent Spirit Awards, you know, the night before the Oscars.
Of course.
The one everyone loves. And also the LA Film Festival, which is coming up in June. So they have a signature diversity program that supports filmmakers who are emerging, who are Latino, African American, LGBTQ, every ethnicity that doesn't normally have the opportunity to emerge in our Hollywood culture. So we as filmmakers
right.
came together and were able to produce this short. So it's a short film that is produced in conjunction with Film Independent and also by the Minority Consortia of PBS. So we're very excited because on the one hand, we're supported by PBS and we'll screen on PBS, but we're also going to screen at the LA Film Festival next month. So it's a win-win.
Well, I'm so excited about that, and I hope to be there with you and for you and supporting you guys. You know, I think that...
Let me tell you a little bit about it. I forgot
sure.
to mention, it's called You're Dead to Me. And I have with me one of the stars of the film, Laura Patalano, who is a very well-known actress in Mexico who just came to Los Angeles. And she plays a Chicana mother who is celebrating Dia de los Muertos, as you know, a very special holiday honoring the spirits. I'm not going to give too much of a spoiler, but it is a very provocative film because the person who shows up is an unwanted guest.
Sounds so exciting. I'm already at the edge of my seat.
I'll let Laura tell you a little bit about her.
Laura, tell me a little bit about your character. We're going to get to you, but I want to hear about this character. Who is she? What is she about? What moves her?
Okay, Andrea is a Chicana mother, a strong Latina mother. We all know that Latina moms are very strong. I'm very straightforward with you. Like, you have to do sometimes just with looking at you, you know that you have to go straight, right? So she's a very loving mother, but she is very traditional in many ways. So basically, that's what she is. That's who she is.
Gotcha. And by the way, there's a little bit of reverb. I'm not sure whether... what's going on with the phone, so I want to sort of apologize to listeners if you're hearing that reverb, but we do take call-ins, and so there might be something going on with the phone lines, but I can hear you fine. So let's continue.
Okay.
So this Latina, strong Latina mother, which I don't know of anybody who's Latina and a mother who's not a strong Latina mother, because that's typical, very typical in our culture. But what about her do you relate to the most? Like, you as a person versus the actual character, what do you relate to the most about her?
The way that we are raised, in traditional way, that sometimes we're not open to new stuff, you know? So I'm very open, but not in the way we were raised.
Right.
I'm a mother myself. I have twin daughters, young adults now, but, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I raised them myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's not easy, and sometimes you have to be tough in order to make sure that they go for the right way.
So one of the things that this movie deals with, and at the center of the story, and Melissa, I hope you don't mind, but I actually mentioned that it's about a transgender teen. That is very provocative for our very conservative culture.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we have a wonderful actress as well. Her name is Harmony Santana, and she was the first transgender actress actually to receive an Independent Spirit Award nomination last year in the Best Supporting Female Character. So we were very lucky to have her. The film she did last year was called Gun Hill Road, and so we're so excited to fly her in from New York to play this role as of the transgender child of Andrea.
And she's gorgeous, by the way. She's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she is. She is. Yeah.
So
she's a beautiful, beautiful girl. So she prefers to be addressed as a girl then. That's her identity.
That is her identity in real life, yes.
Okay.
And in the story, I don't want to give too much away, but it's the mother who's really trying to come to terms with the choices her child has made because her daughter has run away.
Wow. Such provocative subject matter. Why? I know why I think this is important, but I just want to know personally for you, Melissa, why was this important to say? Why is it important to tell this story?
I think it's really important, Jackie, because it's a story, it's really a universal story. Let's start with it's a story about a mother and her child.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know what that's about, and the difficulty of raising a teenager and the overwhelming love for her child. But when a child makes a choice that is goes against the mother's feelings or religion or culture, then there's a conflict. But at the bottom, the truth of the story is the love comes first. And that's
right.
what drew me to this story. That this is also a story that hasn't been told because it's a little bit taboo to talk about in the community.
Mm-hmm.
But that it's very, very important to speak truthfully about choices people make and the love they can still have and share with each other.
And, you know, I think, you know, I've worked with the Hispanic community. I am Latina, obviously, but I've worked with the Hispanic community on in various roles and capacities over the last 20-some-odd years, and I will say that I think that the community in the United States of America that's Latino is yearning for these stories to be told in the open, an honest and well-done depiction of these kinds of topics that we all, you know, we're struggling with, but nobody wants to talk about them. So I think that's why I think it's really important that you guys did this. Let me ask you, because, you know, I think tolerance is at the center of this, it seems, from, you know, from the standpoint of your movie, but also from the community. Do you feel there's been some resistance as you guys have tried to make this film?
Oh, not any resistance as we've made the film. We're really excited to share the film, and we think that we've come to a point where it's time to be open and the equality movement is very strong. It's not a political movie. Again, it's a movie about a mother and her child. Fundamentally, it's about a mother yearning for her child to come back and a child yearning for the acceptance of the mother. You know, you can put that in any script, in any culture, in any time. But it's particularly important right now to discuss this as transgender equality and presence is really important to recognize and to make equal in our society.
That's very interesting. You know, I'm an actress, and every time I take on a role, I transform somehow as a person because that character teaches me something. Laura, I ask you, what in the process of making this film, what did you learn? What's the biggest thing you learned?
Oh, my God. One of the things that I think is most important is to be connected, really, with your child and your child, and you have to accept who they are. You cannot live their lives that you want them to live, you know. So acceptance, I think, is one of the most important things that I learned.
That's a big one. That's a big one.
Oh, yeah.
So what's on the docket next for this film and for you both? I know that you mentioned taking it to festivals. What's coming next?
Yeah, well, first of all, because we wanted to let everyone know and spread the word, we put the film on Indiegogo. And for those who don't know, Indiegogo is a crowdfunding campaign where we invite people to see a short clip of the behind the scenes and to contribute anything from $10 on up, $5 even, and to help us meet our goal. We have a very small goal that we're using for post-production, things like paying the editor and paying the sound mix and paying the designers of who do the credits and everything that happens after the film is finished. So our goal is to reach $1,500 by June 3rd. So we only have 4 more days.
So $1,500 by June 3rd. Well, before you move on, tell our listeners right now, if they are provoked by this subject and want to support this, then where do they find that? How can they help you? Where do they go?
Sure. You go to Indiegogo.com. That's Indiegogo.com. And then you just put in the search You're Dead to Me, and our movie will pop up. You can also find us on Facebook. We're, the name of our page is You're Dead to Me Short, and we're on Twitter as well, and our handle is Dead to Me Short. And all of those platforms will show the link where you can watch the behind-the-scenes video and just click. And in one easy click, you can contribute anywhere from 5 to 10 to 15 to 25 to hundreds of dollars, if you like.
Well, look, I feel strongly that people should support this, you know, even if it's with a small amount. Of course, if somebody wants to leave $1,500 so you meet your goal early, that's very nice.
Yeah,
and you can say you heard it on Jackie's Vida Loca. But you know what? I think even in small amounts, I think it's important for people to support this because this is progress, and this is pioneering a new day of really relevant and important and good content for our community and for every community. This is not just a Latino story. This is an every mother's story, like you said.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And then we invite everyone to come see the film. And the best part is if they contribute, we'll put their name in the credits, and they can come see the film this June 18th at the LA Film Festival, right downtown at LA Live.
Okay, so that's fantastic for all of our Los Angeles-based listeners, but we do have pretty much a nationwide and somewhat of a worldwide audience on Jackie Vida Loca. So where else could they possibly, is there somewhere online that you might be showing more clips of the film? Like, how can they get to see this if they really want to see this movie and they can't
Absolutely.
Jump on a plane or they're not here?
Absolutely. Good point. As soon as the film is up, it will be broadcast on the PBS website, and we'll also be able to submit the film to different festivals around the country, from Sundance to Guadalajara to all over the world. So we'll keep you posted on our Twitter page, on our Facebook page, Dead to Me Short, and very soon we'll have a website up as well.
Well, that's fantastic, Melissa and Laura. You know, I'm excited to have had you on the show today, and we're going to be tracking your success. I know, I really have a gut feeling about this, that you're going to get a lot of traction, because I saw the production value of what you did. Laura, your acting is fantastic, by the way. I'm really
very
much in awe.
Much.
Felicidades, because I think you're terrific, and you have a real sensitivity. You know, I mean, your eyes speak volumes. So I was very, very impressed by how you're telling the story. And I don't think, you know, I think that when you have such great sort of content and subject for an idea for a movie, and then you pull it together with a great production value, you know, fantastic actors and well done, you know, production, I think that you're going to go very far. I didn't say that very well, but what I'm trying to say is that I think you're going to be a hit.
Hey, thank you. We really hope so. People can also check out the last project that I did, and that is about to be, the DVD will be released in a few more days, Mosquita y Mari. It's a story about also relationship with a teenager that is important. It's important. You can check it out online, Mosquita y Mari.
Yeah. Mosquita Mari, actually,
was accepted in Sundance. You saw the movie? Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen the movie, but I did see some of the critics' write-ups on it, and I think you got some really good reviews on it.
Yes, great reviews. And a
ton
of awards around the world. So it was really, went to Sundance. I mean, you went better than that.
Yeah, that's
so
fantastic.
An outfit, won a couple of awards. So it was really a great opportunity for me.
So, Laura, basically,
so
you froze your ass off at Sundance then.
Well, I have 3 movies in Sundance and one in Cannes, so I guess.
Oh, my God. That's so exciting.
For some reason, independent film always follow me. So, I guess
and
I am part
film
of
sometimes
community and I love it.
It's the you know, sometimes they really do, they're willing to take risks. And, Melissa, you know, you and I have known each other for several years now, and I'm so proud of what you've done and where you've, you know, where you've come to. So proud of the work that you're doing, and I'm so excited that you and I still remain connected.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so proud of you, too. Thank you for having on this great show today.
Well, it's my pleasure,
and
I'll tell you what. I just want to invite you now, because later, if I invite you later and you win all these awards, you're going to say no. So I'm going to invite you now. Because you're going to be too busy.
No, I'm kidding. I would never say no to you.
I'm going to invite you now to come back when you win all these awards and you've sort of done the run with this. I know you're going to be very successful. So when you've lived all that, then you come back and you tell our listeners all about it. And I'm sure they're going to want to stay tuned to see what happens with you. We'll keep promoting you on our show. And I wish you both the most success, really. We welcome you back to Jackie's Vida Loca anytime.
Thank you so much for having us, for inviting us. Thank you.
You're welcome, welcome,
gracias,
welcome. Bye, Melissa. Bye, Laura.
Audiencia. Gracias,
sí, sí.
Guys.
Okay, bueno, hasta pronto, a las dos.
Muchas gracias. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
So we just had Melissa Hayslip and Laura Patalano. Both the producer and lead actress in You're Dead to Me, that's the name of the film, very provocative subject matter about a teen transgender character and their relationship with the family, the mother, you know, just a story that definitely begs to be told, and I really do have very high hopes for them. So I'm excited that they were able to join us on the show. I don't know if you heard it very well because I think there was a little reverb there, but no worries. We're going to have them back again on Jackie's Vida Loca. And again, you know, like I said before, I'm an advocate for quality content. And what we try to do every week here with you, my loquitos, is to provide you with the best possible locura that I can come up with. And, you know, as we've been talking today, we Latinos are very addicted to the content that we are given, you know, the novelas in particular. And, you know, my beef with novelas is that I really wish that they would tell stories like this story being told on You're Dead to Me. So I do encourage you to support this film. Look it up. You were given a lot of places where you could find it. And, hell, if you're feeling quite generous, give them a buck or two. You know, I mean, it is advancing us as an ethnicity, you know, because I think it's bad that the only stories that are told and the only way that sometimes Latinos see us, or not Latinos, the only way that gringos see us is by what's told in a novela. And that's kind of sad, right? I mean, not that novelas don't have their excitement and whatever, but it really doesn't depict us in the light that I feel we should be depicted. And I often think, you know, and I think it's changing now. We got people like Eva Longoria. We got people like J-Lo. We got other actors and actresses that really are starting to give us better content. But I think for many, many years, unfortunately, you know, gringos pretty much saw Latinos as gardeners and maids because that's the only thing, or the bad guy, the drug dealer, that's the only thing we were depicted on, you know, news, not the news, but film, television, you know, any kind of media content, that's how we would be depicted. And I think that, you know, one of the great things about my sitcom, which I'm going to launch soon, one of the great things about that is that I'm excited to show modern Latinos being successful with their own struggles, of course, and relatable stories, but Latinos that live in this country that thrive in this country, you know? And not that I have anything against Latinos that live in other countries, their country of origin. I love them. I love them, and I loved going to see them. But I think that if the majority of the Latinos that live in the United States are bicultural, bilingual, then we should be creating content for them as well, right? And it shouldn't just be what's available on Univision and Telemundo. So therein lies the issue. But anyway, listen, guys, let me tell you a little bit about our next show. Hey, did you hear that Governor Chris Christie is fighting to get fit? Listen, we're all fighting to get fit. Luckily, I don't have his ass, right? I'm a little safe there. But I do acknowledge, and my hat goes off to him because, you know, he for a long time was saying that he didn't really care about his weight and everybody was making fat jokes, but, you know, finally he's getting with the program, and I think we should all get with the program. So my next program, my next Jackie's Vida Loca next Thursday, is going to be about getting your ass bikini ready. And, guys, this means you too, right? So we're going to have some great interviews next week. We're also going to talk about some tips. We're going to dish a little bit about, you know, who's getting fat and who's not, but we're not going to make fun of anybody because I think we need to be very respectful of the people out there struggling. I mean, there's a lady that runs them on my street, and I want to tell you, she's probably about 560 pounds. She's big, but she's out there running every day, and I can't criticize her because my ass is not out there running with her, right? I watch her from inside as I sit and eat Fritos. So I can't criticize that. So this show is going to be very respectful, but I'm going to share some tips, some really good tips, And, you know, people, there's no silver bullet to losing weight. You know how you do it, right? Don't eat cake. That's how you do it. So next show, next Jackie's Vida Loca next week, we're going to hit on that because I really think I owe it to you, my viewers, to get your ass in shape for that bikini or those shorts. Because you know what? I don't know of any one woman that's not a Victoria's Secret model that is confident putting on a bathing suit or putting on, like, there's always some criticism we have about ourselves, and I think men are the same. Men have the tire, women have the ass, right? And we all are self-conscious about it in one way or another. Even if they look perfect to me, that person is usually insecure. So we're going to talk about all that crap that we go through to try to get fit. So that's the next Jackie's Vida Loca. For now, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your loyalty and listening to Jackie's Vida Loca every week. You guys are so freaking amazing. You know what? It's very hard to pick on you. Very hard to pick on you because I think you're so awesome. And, you know, we have listeners all across the U.S. and even some in Puerto Rico and some outside of the U.S. But wherever you are today, I wish you the greatest blessings in the world. And I encourage you to reach out to me, as you have been, on jackiesvidaloca@gmail.com. You can follow me on Facebook or on Twitter at jackiesvidaloca. And I'll continue to give you kisses and hugs from sunny Southern California. We'll see you again next week.
Adios, everybody. Join me again next Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, for the craziest Latino mommy on Jackie's Vida Loca.